Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Here at the Seed, it is our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Faith has been the theme of our messages since the beginning of the year. We are called to live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Maybe a good so what as we begin this message. So what? Why is it so hard to live by faith? We have a Bible filled with story after story of faith adventures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. David facing Goliath. Elijah facing 450 prophets of Baal. During the past 5 weeks of Lent, we have looked at some fantastic faith stories found in the New Testament. The faith of the four friends who carried their paralyzed friend to Jesus to be healed. We read about the faith of blind Bartimaeus who cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." In the cry of mercy and faith, blind Bartimaeus was given sight. We read about the faith of Jairus and his daughter and the faith of the woman who had a bleeding problem for 12 years. Last week, we heard about the great faith of the Canaanite woman who came begging for Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus said that this woman had great faith. Today, we turn to Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. This is the beginning of Holy Week. We will look at two powerful passages from Scripture. Our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Zechariah, and our New Testament comes from our good friend Dr. Luke. Before we turn to God's word today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, we know all of our days. You know all of our days, Lord, and you know all of our failures and our sins, and you even know our donkeys. We come today to be redeemed, renewed, and restored by your great love, Lord. We believe. Help our unbelief. Turn our mustard seed of faith into great faith. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Zechariah chapter 9, and then we'll turn to Luke 19. If you don't have a Bible, we have a man in the church that's giving out the one-year Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll mail you a Bible. Zechariah 9, 9 to 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout out loud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. Zechariah 9, 9 to 12. The story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, it's recorded by all four gospel writers. Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11, Mark 11, 1 through 11, Luke 19, 28 to 40, and John 12, 12 to 19. John gives us 8 verses to record this momentous event, while Mark and Matthew use 11. Luke, the Gentile doctor, Dr. Detail, I call him, uses 16 verses. I encourage you this week to take some time and read and compare them. Read Matthew chapters 21 to 28 and Mark chapters 11 through 16. And Luke, chapter 19, to the end of the book, chapter 24, and John, chapter 12 to 21. Those are all the last week of Jesus' life. We're going to read Luke 19, 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of the Lord's coming." Wow. Luke chapter 19, 28 to 44. What a great chapter or verses to read on this Palm Sunday. Who here loves parades? I love parades. As a kid, I remember getting up early to watch the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. I also remember watching the New Year's Day Rose Bowl Parade thinking, now I lived in Illinois during this time, cold winter. Are those people really wearing shorts because it's warm? Or is it a Rose Bowl Parade secret, pretend it's to be warm so the rest of the country would drool with envy from their snow-buried igloos? I tell you what, the first year we moved here, we made it a point to get up at dark 30 and go and see the Rose Bowl Parade. It was something else. Television does not do the parade justice. When our daughter Jody was a senior in high school, she was able to participate in the Macy's Day Parade, and our oldest daughter Jenny was a part of the Fiesta Bowl Parade. When Jody was in the Macy's Day Parade, I was in seminary. We were so poor, we did not have cable TV, so we had to go get up super early and went to a friend's house to be able to see our daughter in the parade. Two daughters and two big parades. Talk about being a proud dad. We also lived on the parade route in our little town called Rochelle, Illinois. Anyone who knew us knew that they could find a spot on our corner lot yard to just watch the best view of the annual parade the city had. Of course, my wife made snacks and punch. Parades are a big deal. Parades are a way to celebrate. In March of 2002, the former ruler of Afghanistan, the 87-year-old Mohammad Zahir Shah, returned to his homeland after 30 years of exile. Wow. Here is how an article in the Chicago Tribune described his grand and glorious welcome. So they said, quote, "On Thursday, thousands of invited guests lined up for hours at the airport and people gathered on the streets leading to a refurbished 7-bedroom villa to see the former ruler. Delegations arrived from across Afghanistan's 32 provinces, governors and their advisors, members of women's groups carrying posters of the king, most of the interim administration, royalists, warlords, men in turbans, and others in suits all converged on the pockmarked runway where airplanes had laid bombs. Two red carpets were laid out, two newly trained honor guard were on hand, and a young woman and children in traditional embroidered dress greeted Zahir Shah with flowers and poems." I wonder how God felt on that Memorial Day when his one and only son went riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Think about that for a moment. Where are you in the story? Where are you? Maybe a good so what question. Where is your faith walk with Jesus right now? There were crowds of people in this story. Scholars believe that there were over 2 million people in Jerusalem during the time of the Passover. Jesus was riding into town on a donkey and the crowds went wild. One, the people who knew their scriptures and were waiting for God to send a king to overthrow the Roman government, this crowd went wild with praise. The second crowd, the crowd of Pharisees, however, well, they didn't go wild with praise. They went wild with protests. And the third kind of crowd was absolutely passive. For them, this parade was, well, no big deal. So, praising, protesting, or passive? What crowd will you find yourself in this Palm Sunday week? Will you praise Jesus? Will you protest Jesus? Or will you be passive about Jesus? One day, Mark Twain took his little daughter on his knee and told her all about the rulers and other prominent men whom he had met in his travels. She listened attentively. When he had finished, she said, "Daddy, you know everybody but God, don't you?" Mark Twain was certainly an intelligent person, yet he rejected God. Imagine for a moment 100,000 to 200,000 people moving, waving palm branches, and shouting. Now, if you're here from Southern California and around this area, the Rose Bowl here holds around 92,000 people, double that crowd. Imagine the noise and hysteria of the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. Can you enter the picture? Where are you in the story? Remember, each week I tell you to find yourself in the story and then put the story in you. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California 91701. If you can't join us in person, we would love to have you join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream at 9 a.m. and worship, fellowship, offer up prayers, chat with people, and grow in grace. If you miss those two opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, watch the weekly service, or you can watch just the Sunday message, or our children's messages are so awesome for children and for adults too. So we want you to grow in grace. So my question is, can you enter into this story on this Palm Sunday? A few million people are milling around Jerusalem. There are people everywhere. Well, that would be Sunday, the Sunday before the celebrated Passover, the reason why all these people were there in the first place. Today is also called Lamb Selection Sunday. Thousands of lambs are being led into town for Thursday's annual Passover sacrifice event. Everyone is selecting the family's sacrificial lamb. Think of the tension in the air as the Roman centurions walk around angry that the crowd is so large and unruly. Their swords and shields are ready at a moment's notice to keep the peace. Jesus makes his way through the nearby town of Bethany, down the Mount of Olives, and enters the city of Jerusalem. Jesus has been in ministry for 3 years. The people have seen him in action and they have heard about him. The crowd is energized. The excitement keeps building and building. Jesus is now riding a donkey, and the crowd goes absolutely wild. They have been waiting for this day. These people know their scriptures. They don't have the New Testament. They've only have the Old Testament. They can easily equate Zechariah 9, which we read earlier, with what they are seeing. All of a sudden, this is the biggest parade you have ever seen. Everyone is breaking off palm branches from the palm trees and waving them. They're taking off their outer coats to throw them down on the dirt road that Jesus is riding into town on. Are you with me in this story? Can you enter in and see the excitement as the crowd begins to shout, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Makes me think of when the USA is in the Olympics and people are shouting, "USA, USA." The Hebrew word for Hosanna literally means, "Save us, we pray," or "Save us now." Save us, we beseech you. The crowd is shouting at the top of their lungs, Hosanna, 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 save us, we beseech you. Save us, we pray. Save us now. The day is actually Sunday. Their church day was Saturday. Their Sabbath day is over. It's a back-to-work day. Today is the day Jewish families select the family's unblemished lamb for the Passover sacrifice held 4 days later. This is really a big day. Think of 4 days before Christmas, and you kind of get the idea. Everyone is out. Everyone has something to do. Everyone is super excited about the upcoming holiday celebrations. It is mayhem. And this is the day that Jesus enters Jerusalem, Lamb Selection Day. The crowds are pumped, and they're shouting, Hosanna, 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 save us, we beseech you, save us now. The people are tired of the harsh Roman rulers. They see their king fulfilling the long-awaited scripture, and they are wild with excitement. At least this portion of the crowd is passionate, and they're praising God with every ounce of their being. What about you? Where are you in this story? Are you in this crowd praising God with every ounce of your being? Now there's another crowd we need to pay attention to. I love that Luke puts these two verses into his detailed story. Quote, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples, I tell you. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This is the last mention of the Pharisees in Luke's gospel. The Pharisees went out to meet Jesus because they understood why he was coming to town. This Jesus was about to turn their entire lives completely upside down. The Pharisees were uncomfortable, and they thought maybe they were losing control, or at least they thought. Luke records that some of the Pharisees were shouting out to Jesus. Imagine how loud they must have been shouting to have their voices heard over the other crowd. This crowd of Pharisees wanted to silence the crowd, and they wanted to silence Jesus. Imagine how they felt when Jesus responded that even if the crowd was silent, the very stones on the ground would cry out. I'd like to be around for that. So you have the voice of two contrasting crowds. One crowd is wild with excitement, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the other crowd is shouting, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Two crowds. One crowd praises Jesus, while the other crowd protests him. The Bible records many powerful events in the life of Jesus. Two events that always stand out for me are the records of when Jesus wept. Jesus wept at the tomb of his best friend Lazarus, and Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he entered it. Jesus knew what awaited him there. He knew how truly short his time on earth was. How profound this scene must have been. Here is the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, Jesus looking over the city of peace, Jerusalem. Some of the people are shouting, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. While others are shouting, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Yet Jesus is not weeping over the chaos of these two crowds. He is weeping over the people who are too passive that they're going to completely miss the Prince of Peace. Listen to his words. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Wow. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest, Luke 19:38. Reminds me of another song of another multitude, the great host of angels who announced Christ's birth in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The heavenly chorus sang about peace on earth, while the earthly throng sang of peace in heaven. This crowd surrounding Jesus sang more than they knew. You see, Jesus, peace on earth is dependent on peace in heaven. Let me say that again. Peace on earth depends on peace in heaven. In fact, peace comes down from above. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Remember Isaiah 9:6? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Remember the story we looked at when the woman came to Jesus who had a bleeding problem and faithfully reached out and touched the hem of his garment? Remember what Jesus said to her? Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Luke 8:48. In a few short days, Jesus will gather his disciples in the upper room for the Last Supper, and some of his last words are going to be words of peace. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Friends, only when we find peace with God is there peace on earth. If you have not come to know the Prince of Peace, if you do not have the peace that He alone gives, today is the day to invite Jesus to come into your heart. Let Jesus come into your heart this Palm Sunday week and find the peace you're looking for. You can just say a little prayer. "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. Come into my heart and make me new. Forgive me of my sins and bring your peace into my life. Amen." Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let's pray it. "Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of you. Come into my heart and make me new. Forgive me of my sins and bring me peace. Bring me peace in your life, in my life. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll send you a Bible. The third portion of the Palm Sunday crowd is passive. This is the crowd who simply, well, they pass. They do not care enough one way or the other. Jesus who? Jesus did what? Yeah, I'm really busy today doing my own thing. This is the so what for us to think about. Are you in the think I will praise Jesus today crowd? Are you in the think I will protest Jesus today crowd? Or are you in the, well, think I'll pass on Jesus today crowd? Where are you in this story? Praise, protest, pass. It's our choice. Today's so what comes down to a choice made by me, made by you. We either praise, we either protest, or we pass this Jesus of Nazareth. Praise, protest, or pass on God who hung on a cross. Guess what? Today I have a point to make. Today is Lamb Selection, the Lamb of God who rode into town on a donkey, the Lamb of God unblemished. And he said, "I come to you." Great faith. All you need as we close our Palm Sunday, go home waving the branch, shouting Hosanna. Whatever mountain you are facing, start speaking to it. Move, for nothing is impossible when you have faith in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I give thanks for this day. May I always be in the praising crowd. May everyone listening be in the praising crowd. And for those who accepted Christ today, Lord, surround them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and love the Lord. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.